Church. I just put that on our Facebook feed. We'd like to say to those who are joining us Facebook Live, those who are joining us through our live stream at azaleacity.org, and also to our very skeleton crew who are here this morning, and to Justin, my buddy. We are so thankful to be together in these awkward times, but especially thankful that no matter what, we are able to glorify our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have today to do this. I can't wait till we can do it all together. I really can't. But at the same time, I'm thankful for our leadership here. I'm thankful for their wives and their families. I'm thankful for all of you. And Justin and I are very excited to stick with our theme of what we're talking about throughout this little series of sermons here. We're very excited about being together with you all today. In just a moment, got a couple things that are a little bit different today. I want to go ahead and give you an update. We're going to go to song, like we would normally do. Then following that song, we have a video. That video is about three and a half to four minutes long. I think you will want to see that video. I think it's going to be very encouraging to you. And then we'll make some more comments towards the end about that. But please go ahead and do this. Share this post. Let's get the word out. We want as many people watching the good news of Jesus Christ as possible. Again, so go ahead right now if you're on Facebook and click that share. Maybe if you're on the live stream, you can text somebody and tell them, hey, let's tune in and let's watch together, because we can use this opportunity now to tell people easier. And it makes it easier for people to be a part of our worship right now more than ever. So, again, we're going to take the advantage of the positive opportunities that are out there for us. But we love y'all, and let's prepare our minds now. Song, then video, then we'll be back with you. Thank you for joining.
Church, good afternoon. It's Monday the 20th, 2020. We've been missing y'all. On behalf of Tanya and myself, I just wanted to let you know we really miss y'all. Can't wait to see you again. Hope everybody's doing fine, and let's don't forget to be real careful out there. I'm real thankful for all those that helped us with our services. Please, if you need us, please call us. We love y'all. We miss y'all. We hope to see you soon. See you guys.
Church. It is good to speak with you. I hope everybody is doing well, that you are finding peace in this time of strife in a lot of cases and struggles. And we miss you. And we're praying, I'm praying every day for y'all to do well, be safe, and be healthy. And looking forward to seeing y'all real soon.
And ladies, I just cannot wait to get back in our room on Wednesday night together and get to spend time together and love on each other. We may just have to have a party. We love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Larry and Betsy here today, and we wanted to take this opportunity to let each and every one of you all know how much we're missing you and so much we look forward to being back with you and worshiping the Lord in the house of the Lord. We've been missing all of you, and we love you very much, and we so much look forward to being there and with each and every one of you. So hopefully very soon we'll be able to do that.
I'm ready to make some trees.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I am here with Azalea City's most popular Spurlock. And I just wanted to jump on here, and we wanted just to let you know how much we're thinking about you, praying for you. We miss you terribly. We can't wait to be back with you. You've been on our hearts so much, and just hope everybody's doing okay.
I definitely miss my church family. I've missed seeing each and every one of you, all the ones that I haven't met yet. I'm looking forward to the day when I can. Thank you for your continued prayers for our family, and we'll continue praying for yours. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
We love you very much, and I know we'll be seeing you real soon. Take care.
Wow, what a really cool video. That's the first time I've seen that in its entirety. And, you know, even as ministers, you and I don't even get to see our elders, you know, through this. So I think that's going to be echoed among our entire congregation, but it's really awesome to see the faces of our leadership,
yeah.
Right? To hear from them. Like you said, these are some awkward times, and it's strange and it's weird. It's tested us. It's, I think, helped us all grow. But to see some familiar faces like that just kind of brings a calm over us maybe this morning, kind of makes things seem a little bit more normal. So thank you to our elders for that. Like I said, that's the first time I've really seen that. So I appreciate them. I appreciate their leadership through this whole thing. Like, this has been very, very challenging. We've got an outdoor Bible video coming out today, hopefully this afternoon. I'm going to put it on YouTube and send the link out. We talk about this five-finger prayer, and one of those is praying for our leadership. And I think more times, I say this in the video, and we'll say it here too, I think more now than ever, we need to be praying for our leadership, praying for the leadership of our congregation, of course, our elders, praying for the leadership of our country and our state and local governments through this entire pandemic. I believe all have done a pretty good job so far, and some, I say our elders, I think, have done an excellent job. So,
that's
so
the
happy
ones that
to see
point
them.
Us in the right direction.
That's exactly right, and they sure do. So I'm so thankful for them, thankful for you. Do you have anything to add about that video there?
No.
I know we have some announcements later.
We'll make more announcements at the end.
Okay, sounds great. As we begin our worship this morning, I would like to start with a scripture reading and then open us up in prayer. It's going to come from Acts chapter 2, what we studied last week, but want to reiterate it beginning this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for this great day you've blessed us with. What an opportunity that we have to come and to worship you. Father, we're all in different places this morning, and I know we all long for the opportunity to be back together in this building. But Father, thank you for the great weather. Thank you for the season that we're going through, the beautiful weather that we've had. Father, I know we've had some storms and challenges as well with that weather. I pray that you'll continue to bless those and be with those that have had damage through this. Father, thank you for the storms that we go through in our own personal and spiritual lives that help to challenge us, that help test us, stretch us, to help us eventually grow. Father, I pray that you will be with us as we continue through this pandemic. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Help us to expect the spectacular. Help us to launch out into the deep of our faith, Father, and trust you and know that you're going to work all things out for the people that love you. And Father, I pray that we are continuing to be people that love you. I pray that we are continuing to be people that serve you and look to serve your children. Father, thank you for this great day again. I pray that you'll be with us through a period of worship, and I pray that everything done here is pleasing to you. It's uplifting. Father, I pray that we will remember today that you are our audience. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope of eternal life that He promises us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus certainly makes everything possible. And as Justin just prayed, God is our audience. So now we are going to prepare our minds to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the gift that God so freely gave us in the life of His own Son. So to help prepare, we're going to have a song right now, and then we'll come back with some words. That is a really, really powerful song to remind us of what Jesus has done, how He went to that hill of Calvary, how He faced that pain and that woe so that we could be able to do what we're doing today. Everything we do in our Christian walk should revolve around Jesus Christ. Today, to help prepare our minds even further, I've chosen another song that I would like to share with you at this time. Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, lifted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all is ransomed home to bring. Then a new song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning shouting, Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Father. What a moment in time, dear Father, as you watched your Son die. As the two of you were separated for the first time and only time in existence, as he bore our sins and gave us that full atonement. Father, I can't fathom how hard that was for both of y'all. And Father, as heartbreaking as that is, Father, we know that that had to be possible so that we can have forgiveness and so that we can be fully ransomed, so that we can come home with you one day. Father, as we take time aside in our worship this morning to commune together all across our city and state and even some and throughout our world and country, Father, help us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Father, as we partake of this bread that represents His broken body on the cross, help us to partake of it in a way that pleases You. And help us never quit shouting, Hallelujah, what a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer this morning. Father, thank You again for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank You for that blood that was spilt on our behalf that helps to clean our slates, to make us pure and whole and perfect in Your sight. Father, I pray at this time as we look back to the cross and we look back to the sacrifice of Jesus that we can truly clear our minds. Sometimes it's hard with all the things that go on in our lives that we're thinking about. Things that we may do this afternoon or things we may be doing this week or sometime down the road, Father, I pray that we can truly clear our minds in this moment. And we can give Jesus the much-needed praise, honor, and glory that He deserves right now. Father, I pray that You'll help us to keep our minds clear through the rest of this worship service, that we can solely focus on You, knowing that You paid the price for all of us. Thank You again for that great sacrifice. I pray that You will be with us as we partake of this fruit of the vine. May we do it in a way that pleases You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper, our communion time. But just like we would do on a Sunday, we will use this time to talk about the blessings we have in life. We certainly are very, very blessed. Even in times of struggle, we are very blessed. And with that, we need to give God what we have purposed in our hearts. I understand that certainly there are challenging times out there. But remember, in Malachi, we learn that we need to test God. Let's give and see what He gives back. But again, it's not just about getting back. It's about doing His will, about giving back a portion of the many ways He's blessed us. And we are so richly blessed as long as we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Here at Azalea City, we have set aside you could go online at azaleacity.org and give online through Tithely. You can do it through the Tithely app, or you can mail a check in. And So we appreciate those who are still so willing to give and are so sacrificially giving. And we love you all and we appreciate you all. But at this time, let's give thanks to God for the blessings we have in life. Father, we are truly a blessed people. We are so richly blessed by the many ways that you shower down prosperity on us. But Father, also the many ways that we can wake up today knowing that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we do know that there are so many that depend on hearing the good news. And Father, we know that that costs. Father, we ask that you will help us to continue to be able to give the way we've purposed in our hearts. Father, thank you for our jobs. Thank you for our livelihood. Thank you for the country we live in. But Father, we do ask your blessings on this country. We ask your healing on this country. We ask that you will be with those who are working so hard to get us through these very difficult times. Thank you for the church. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Justin and I are very excited again about today's sermon. We have started a series of lessons on the book of Acts. And what we see in the book of Acts is not necessarily a renewed excitement, maybe the beginning of excitement, because now they understand the purpose of what they're doing. They understand that Jesus Christ has come into the world, that He has been tempted in all points as we are. He's resisted every one of those temptations. He's gone to the cross. He's bled, He's suffered, and ultimately He died. He went into a borrowed grave dead, but He came out alive. And because of that, now the power has come upon the apostles, the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and they're going to take the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. They started in Jerusalem. They're going to branch out to Judea, Samaria, and ultimately in 2020, here we are in America and to the rest of the world. And so what a blessing it is to see their excitement and their zeal in Acts 1 and 2. Justin read to us about that excitement. Remember, they had all things in common and they were able to sell what they had. They were able to give it out. They were able to take care of one another. They had meals together. They ate their food with simplicity and gladness of heart. And because of that excitement, because of them staying in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, and all that zeal and excitement they had, they were able to see God add to the church every day those who were being saved. And so really, essentially, Acts 1 and 2, which is what we studied last week, is the start of what we're doing here in 2020.
That's right. And it's amazing. You're right. You see this. And if I can here in just a second, I'd like to read the first 8 verses, and that will just kind of maybe help introduce what we're talking about, set the tone, and we'll break this down verse by verse as we go. In chapter 3, again, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And that's exactly where we get our title from this morning: walking, leaping, praising. This, just like this man has been lame, you and I have been lame, but we have reason to walk, to leap, and to praise God.
You're right, Justin, and that's why we did title this Walking, Leaping, Praising. Of course, we pulled that right out of this lame man. But this is an essential moment in the history of the church. Now, you remember, Jesus has gone about and He's done miracles. Now, the apostles had this miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. so that they could take the good news to Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. People weren't going to believe them. So when they start healing people and they start helping people, then people are going to be like, hey, there's something to these
guys. Catches their attention
yeah.
for sure.
And so they're going to, so this is a significant part. This is going to help the church grow and it's going to help make people mad. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of when you do good things. Good things are going to happen, but Satan's going to be upset. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it is. And so there's a lot of people out there that are going to try to steal our joy. They're going to try to steal our happiness, mm-hmm. our fulfillment of trying to do the will of God. And we've got to stop those naysayers. And we're going to see that as we keep going in this. But what we really want to focus on today is the excitement of these first few verses and the amazing things that happen. And so kind of we're just going to go verse by verse in these first few verses and draw out points that we see in there that I think will help us today. Now, let me say from the outset, as you're well aware, Justin nor I nor you have this to be able to go and help lame men or lame women walk or blind people to see or raise people from the dead. But we can take Jesus to them.
That's right.
And we can give them what Peter gave them. And gave this lame man as far as Jesus Christ goes. And so with that being said, I want you to think about you in this situation as we'll think about us. And just know that the excitement behind the growth of the church, about people following Jesus Christ, man, there's nothing greater than seeing a soul be added to the kingdom of God. Right here in verse 1, you got Peter and John. And I always think, you know, I try to think about the relationships in the Bible. And Peter and John, I would guess, were as close of friends as anybody.
Sure.
I mean, they had things in common. You know, yeah. They were both, of course, one of the original 12. They're one of the apostles now. But they also come from a fishing background. And I'm sure that they intertwined in that fishing background together. Mm-hmm. You know, that they were able to maybe hang out and become friends. And we also learned that they're members of Jesus' inner circle. Peter, James, and John. And so that was a pretty special bond they had with Christ. I don't know everything about that bond, but I do know that obviously Jesus thought enough of those guys to bring them into what I would guess would be his closest group of friends. With them being in the inner circle, they witnessed some amazing things that no others did. Of course, they tried to sleep through some of it, but they were able to witness the transfiguration. You know, a time when the Mosaic age was alive, when the prophetic age was alive, and when the Christian age all came together right there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses was there, when Elijah was there, and when Jesus was there. I mean, Peter and John were able to see that.
That's right.
And that's an amazing. They also witnessed the raising of Jairus' daughter, which is a moment in time when that was pretty special right there, especially in Mark 5. And then, of course, again, they were asleep a lot of it, but they were there at Gethsemane. And here I believe that we set the tone with them going out.
Yep.
Peter stood up with the other 12, or with the 12 in Acts 2, and now they've kind of gone out, in, as Jesus told them, in two by twos. And so we have Peter, John here in the first part of that. And where do they go? They go to the temple. And that's significant because you might sit there and think, well, why would they go to the temple? They're not Jews anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, Christians, even after they were, again, Christians baptized into Jesus Christ, when they converted over from Judaism to Christianity, they still went to the temple. Now, there are a couple reasons why. First of all, they would go at least three times a day and pray. And that was part of still a tradition that was hard to break. And what's wrong with praying multiple times a day? There's nothing wrong with that. But they would go and they would pray. But I am sure that a lot of them, I remember Paul really doing this, going to the synagogues and such when he became a Christian. They would go there and witness to them or teach others about Jesus Christ to try to convert those who were there. Now, God, we know, ultimately destroyed the temple. And this ended that requirement set forth in Judaism that they had to go somewhere. Now, here's what I want to say about that. It's exactly what we're doing today. You've heard this said throughout this time, and you and I have said it, that the church is not this building. Now, I can't wait for the church to meet in this building together, but we are not required to be in this building. You're worshiping in your home. Some are probably with their families doing that in a little bit bigger group. We're here in this group. We're all worshiping together. And Jesus told that in John chapter 4. And I want to read that real quick. John 4, beginning in verse 21. Jesus replied, and this is the woman that he met at the well from Samaria. Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." And I'm thankful today that we are not bound by a building, that we can worship God wherever we are right now. Now, I'm thankful that when our elders say, "Hey, let's get back together," we'll remember we're under their subjection. But that's the scene as we go into verse 2.
And you mentioned it a minute ago that we don't have this extraordinary healing power of these apostles here. But to me, we have to witness this, or we have to catch this, that they have this extraordinary healing power. You said here, reading verse 2, "And a man lame from birth," don't miss that. He was absolutely born this way, right? "Lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those who are entering the temple." And as I read, and we'll get down to verses 7 and 8 here in a minute, that Peter and John heal this man, right? And what I've always taken from verse 2 here is that as they were going to the temple, they took time out of their schedule. Mm-hmm. That they took time away. They could have very well looked at this man and said, "Hey, look, we're going to pray here. We've got this hour of prayer. We're going to witness to these people. We'll catch you later." Or maybe they could say to this man, "You're not worth our time in this moment. We're going to continue on to the temple doing our own thing." But they took time out of their schedule. They went out of their way, essentially. I know they didn't walk out of their way, but they went out of their way and took time to minister to somebody. And that's exactly, James talks about it in his epistle, that we cannot treat people differently, right? We can't judge people. We can't treat a rich person different than we treat somebody who is poor.
Sure.
Right? God doesn't do that. We can't be a respecter of persons in that way. And Peter and John absolutely were not. They looked at this man and healed him, essentially.
Yeah, they saw an opportunity.
That's right.
And that's something I think that we've got to open our eyes to. Now, just to kind of further go into this lame man a little bit, like you said, I don't believe that Peter and John really planned on healing anybody. They had the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that they felt like, "Hey, I can use this anytime." I don't know how that feels. I don't know what all went into it. But there was a lot of power residing in their bodies, if you will. And so their plan, I would think, like you said, was go to the temple to maybe pray or try to teach somebody about Jesus. But like I put in my notes, just like you said, we always have to be ready.
Yeah, that's right.
We must be ready to give Jesus to somebody. It might be a word. It might be a kind deed. It might be a prayer. It might be a hug. Maybe not right now, but you know what I mean. It may be something that we can do today that will let people see Jesus Christ living in us. Now, think about this lame man. He's been crippled his whole life. I would assume he was born that way because it was since birth. Of course, he could have, you know, had something happen, but I would assume that he was born lame. And we know that he's over 40 years old according to Acts 4:22. In order for him to function every day, he had to be carried. Think about how hard that is. Think about how miserable these 40 plus years have been for this guy. Now, he's been brought to the Beautiful Gate. Now, I want to talk to you just a moment about the Beautiful Gate because I found this interesting. You know, I like to dig in these things and talk about it, and so I hope that you find it interesting as well.
I'm glad you do, because I just think from my perspective of listening to what you're about to say and then everyone else, that we just read these things and we may think of an old farm gate or a gate that we're so used to, but these are completely different times.
Yeah.
So I think what you're about to say is something that we all can
you know, take something from, or really help paint the picture in our mind.
Yeah, because this is the temple.
That's right.
And not Solomon's temple. It's not as beautiful as Solomon's temple. Remember, Solomon's temple was torn down by Nicodemus and the Babylonians. Well, then Ezekiel had a vision, and Ezra built that new temple, and then the Jews over the years have been able to add to it and really, I guess, refurbish it, if you will. And so this is the temple. And by the way, gate, and I'm like you. I think about a farm gate or just like a gate at your fence or something like that. These were not gates. These were doors. If you look up the word, it can mean gate, it can mean door. But if you understood the temple, it was magnificent, if you will. And so there were nine doors or gates to the temple. They were all but one, at least, get this, 45 feet high. But there was one called Nicanor. It was 75 feet high. And it faced eastward, and it was adorned with precious gems and everything else. And so guess what? It was very beautiful. And this was believed to be the gate called Beautiful. Josephus, who was a writer during, not an inspired writer, but a writer during that time, he said this about this door or gate. It was adorned after a most costly manner, as having much richer and thicker plates of silver and gold. It was made of Corinthian brass. The gold had been poured upon it by Alexander, the father of Tiberius. So what would this lame man do? His handlers, if you will, the people that carried him, would take him to this gate, because it was the one that drew the most attention. So God put Peter and John at this spot, at this gate, for the reason such as this. Now I want to ask you today, what opportunity is going to come our way? And we got to have our eyes open for it.
Yeah, we pray for opportunities. We need to make sure, like you just said, we need to make sure our eyes are open, that we don't pass those by. So verse 3 now, as we see this man is here begging at the gate. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms from them. Okay, so continue on what you're saying here. This man has been brought here. He's completely reliant on other people. And he sit here and he's just begging for money. Like, so I think, too, like he's lame. He obviously needs money to eat and
sure,
maybe money to live. But if he's completely relying on other people, I think you bring up a good point here.
Mm-hmm. That he needs...
He's paying somebody.
To pay them,
yeah.
That's right. I would think, again, just kind of knowing how these things work, if you look at when Saul, Paul, heals the lady who has the spirit in her, remember, she had handlers, if you will, and it made them money. Think about money drives a lot of things,
that's right,
even right here in 2020, right? And it drove it back then, gold and silver and such. And so I'm like you. I do believe he needed it for his own self, but I think other people were probably taking advantage of him,
sure,
that he had to be brought here. They brought him to the most spectacular 75-foot-tall gate, door, if you will, and so they had to get the most money they could that day so he could pay them, and he probably got a little bit too,
sure,
so that he could survive. But what was he not expecting that day? He wasn't expecting the spectacular to happen.
Right. No question.
And you know what? The spectacular, and again, that's our hashtag, expect the spectacular, launch into the deep, drop down those nets, and pull up all those fish, right? That was spectacular when we started out in this. And so with that said today, we're also expecting it, but we are witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
The spectacular is going on all around us right now. And so my thing is, whether we're lame in our faith or we're crippled in our faith or we're blind in our faith or whatever, we need to sit back and expect the spectacular and open our eyes to the great things that are going on.
And you see here in verse 4 that he certainly was expecting something,
right?
But maybe just not the spectacular.
That's right.
He is here, I don't know how often, if he comes every day, if he comes every time, whatever, but when he is brought here, I'm sure people, he's probably embarrassed a little bit, you know, begging for money all the time. Maybe he gets tired of doing it day in and day out, but either way, I'm sure people walk by. If you can just envision in our 21st century world, when you see people that are begging, sometimes you may hand them money, right? Or you may just toss something along the sidewalk for them to grab. This guy, to me, is like that. He's begging for something, but he's not really making eye contact with anybody.
Right.
And he's expecting Peter and John maybe just to throw some money. But no, Peter commands him, hey, look at us. Right. And I think that really sets the tone to what we find next.
That's exactly right. In verses 4 and 5, they're kind of combining here. You're right. Peter tells him, look at us. But for Peter to say, look at us, he had to look at him.
Right.
And I'm like you. I think this guy is like, poor, poor, pitiful me. I'm 40-plus years old. That was all he knew. 40-plus years old, and you know, I'm sitting here, man, feel sorry for me, put some money in the pot. Peter looked at him, and I want to ask you today, when he looked at him, what do you think he saw? I'm going to answer for us, but I just think about what when he looked at this guy. Now, he had to look in the eyes of compassion like Jesus looked at him. Love, find favor with him, you know, and he saw things in this guy. I believe he saw four things. First of all, I think he saw a man without any hope.
Absolutely.
What hope did this guy have? For 40 more years, let's say he lived to be 80-something years old, okay? If he lived another 40 years, is this what he's going to do? Is this all he has to look forward to? So I think Peter looked at him and he saw a man without hope. But then obviously he looked at him and he saw a man without strength. Physical strength? Probably spiritual strength too.
Right.
And this man couldn't get up and walk. He couldn't get up and even stand and comb his hair or brush his teeth. You know, he saw a man without any strength. But what does that build? He saw a man without any confidence. You know, I mean, what confidence could he have?
That's right.
He relied on everybody else to take care of him. And then, of course, he saw a man without any excitement. And so I want to ask the question, when others look at you today, when they look at us, do they see people without hope, without strength, without confidence, without excitement?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the flip side, Justin. When Peter said, look at us. Peter saw those things in him. He said, I want you to look at us. Look at Peter and John. What did that lame man see? You know what he saw? He saw hope.
Yeah.
He saw strength. He saw confidence. He saw excitement because he saw Jesus in their eyes. He wanted money. But man, he was about to get so much
he
more.
He certainly was. And let's continue reading. Verse 6, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Some things are just worth more. Some things are better, right, than silver and gold. God can provide more than we expect. This man was just expecting to receive money. He was probably just expecting for them to toss money to his side. But no, like you just mentioned there, he had no hope, no strength, no excitement, right? Peter looks at him. He sees all these things. He's about to get so much more. That God can provide much, much more than we can expect. That's why we need to continue to expect the spectacular. But also, Peter didn't have silver and gold, but he gave him exactly what he had.
That's right.
And that was Jesus Christ. And that you and I may not have a lot of money, we may not have a lot of talents, we may not have a lot of political power or anything else, but we have Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And we can give that to people. We need to make sure we give that to people.
You know, man, that was so well said, and I just amen everything you just said. But could you imagine that first feeling he had? And I'm sure the lame man had heard no plenty of times.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, why would I give you any? And again, these are religious people coming to the temple.
That's right.
Again, but it's crazy. Hey, you know, there are a lot of people that are wealthy that can give a lot of money, but if you don't have the right spirit behind it,
right,
you know, you're just giving money.
Exactly.
You're not
right.
Giving Jesus, if you will. And so with that mindset, he's heard no, I'm sure, but he looks up and he sees hope, he sees strength, he sees confidence, he sees excitement in these guys, the things that I believe were lacking. And Peter says, hey, I don't have any money. I don't have any money to give you. I mean, his confidence of getting something just dropped.
Sure did.
But here's what Peter was thinking about. In 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 17, we talked about this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. It reads like this, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing. Y'all talked about knowing, David and George did on the Bible class this morning. We got to know, right? Romans 8:28. We got to know we're in Jesus. We got to know where our faith is. Peter said, knowing that you were not redeemed, hear this, with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. What were we redeemed with, Peter? But, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So when Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give unto you. That was a wild moment to me. That's an exciting moment. That's a spectacular moment. In the name of Jesus, or by His authority, rise up and walk. What a difference Jesus makes.
Yeah, in verse 7, this lame man now begins to walk immediately. He leaps up. To me, like, we have physicians that that worship with us here. And right, that, like, my sister's a physical therapist. Okay, he needed no therapy.
Right.
He needed no learning how to walk. Not again, but for the first time. Like, that's the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how awesome God can be. That Peter was able to give Jesus Christ to him, and this man not just like eased up or doubted a little bit, but no, he leapt up.
Yeah.
You know,
not like me when I stand up out of this
I hope my back doesn't hurt. Right. Yeah, right. So he just jumped straight up. I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it really is, Justin. It's one of these wow moments in Scripture. Again, it's a very critical moment to the church. What we're doing today in 2020, if things like this didn't happen in the first century church with Peter and John and others, then we wouldn't be able to have the gospel grow so much. And you'll see that unfold as we go through the book of Acts. But Peter, he helped him up at first.
Yeah.
But, you know, like
that's
you
right.
say, he leaps up.
Yeah.
We all need that help. But when we get to verse 8, that walking, leaping, praising, and I'm going to read it again real quick.
Sure.
Back to Acts 3, verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising. Verse 8, and that's in the New King James. Verse 8 in the English Standard Version, walking, leaping, praising. Verse 8 in the New Living Translation, walking, leaping, praising.
No difference.
Any way you say it, he was doing the same thing. And that's the medium point of our lesson. It's the crux of our lesson. It's the strength of our lesson. That's why we named it Walking, Leaping, Praising. Are you excited about what Jesus has done for you? Are we excited about that? Are we walking, praising God? Are we leaping, praising God? Everywhere. Are we running? Are we sleeping? Are we sitting? Are we standing? Are we fishing? Are we hunting? Are we doing everything we can to praise God today?
You and I can put ourselves right here in the position of this lame man. Right now, thankfully, and we take for granted every day the abilities and the motor skills that we have, able to walk. But we've been crippled. Maybe we've been crippled by fear. Maybe we've been crippled even by our possessions or our power. Maybe we've been crippled certainly by our sin, ultimately. And sometimes it takes that hand to lift us up, and certainly it takes Jesus to lift us up. But this man had no hope. Was just given hope.
That's right.
Right? You and I have had no hope. We've been given hope. He's actually been given a brand new life. Imagine all now the limitless possibilities.
Right.
Everything that he couldn't do, he now can do, or at least has the opportunity or privilege to do. And that's exactly what it is with us. If we make this personal, like we always try to do, you and I have been crippled by sin. But through Jesus Christ, we've been given a new life.
Absolutely.
You know? That's
Absolutely.
What makes all this so bone-chilling, in a sense. Like, give you goosebumps reading through this. How can you not be excited
about
that?
I was about to say
that.
The same word.
Right,
how can we not be excited?
You can say them.
How can we not be excited today?
Right.
I mean, I'm hitting the table today. I'm so excited. You know, because it is all about Jesus Christ. It's not, hey, this is, you know, hey, can I have something? Oh, I've got a penny or two in here, and I'll throw it in the salvation bucket. Peter wasn't reaching in for a penny or two. He was reaching in for the greatest gift he could give him.
That's right.
He gave him Jesus. He gave him, like you said, new hope. At 40 plus years old, this man's life really began.
Yeah.
Because of all the opportunities. And what happens? Let's continue reading, if you will, in verse 8. So he leaping up and stood and walked. Well, I've read that about 14 times, but I'm going to read it one more time. And walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I think that's significant, Justin.
Yeah. Take notice.
Because look, I don't know how long this guy's been coming to the temple, this huge, beautiful gate, door. But I would imagine people knew who he was. There's old lame man. I don't. I wish I knew his name. I hate to keep referring to him as that. But there's old lame man over there. You know, he's just, yeah, let's give him a few more silver coins or whatever. Maybe throw a gold one in if the work week was really good. But, you know, it's kind of that mindset. But he's been coming, I would imagine, for a while. But now, people notice something totally different.
That's right.
Not only is this guy walking, he's also praising God. Others should be noticing, shouldn't they? When people are with us, in our presence for 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes, hour, do they leave knowing that we belong to Jesus? And that's a strong question. There was no denying that this guy, there's something different about him, right?
It says there that all the people saw, right?
Yeah.
Everyone saw. Everyone knew what they were fully aware of what miracle had just taken place.
Right.
I believe this also gives Peter and John confidence
moving
forward.
Yeah.
And certainly they're going to go through a lot of struggles down the road. It has to be.
Yeah.
Because this is that first real miracle where they're healing somebody with that miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. And it's coming together just as Jesus said. If I can jump back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus tells them, he said, but you will receive power. They're witnessing this, right, with the Holy Spirit, or when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, right? They were going to this temple to pray, but also to witness. They were using this power of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus had promised them to witness to people. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. That has to give Peter and John confidence.
Yeah.
But then just by them healing, like you said, everybody sees this. People are watching us. And again, we don't have the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, but when we do our good deeds, right, are we giving glory to God, right?
Yeah.
Because people are watching.
Well, I'm going to tell you, you talked about people took notice and it had to give Peter and John confidence. It's going to do a couple things. And I said this at the beginning. Good things are going to happen and bad things. In Acts 4, when we're getting into it, the number of people added to the church are going to be 5,000 men. Now, it was 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and that was probably those of the age of accountability, men, women, and teenagers, whatever. But now in Acts 4, it's going to be 5,000 men. But it's also going to get Peter and John beaten. And so, but we're going to get into all that. They're never going to lose their zeal. They're never going to lose their excitement. We're never going back to who Peter was before John 21. We're not going back to Peter denying Jesus anymore. He will not, he will be the man that Jesus saw in him now on. But now, that doesn't mean he's perfect, but he never denies him again. However, people ought to be noticing us. You said it earlier, and I think it was a beautiful way you said it. We are lame without Jesus Christ. We are lame without, because of sin. It cripples us. Jesus took that sin away. He took that crippling power away from Satan when he came up out of the grave. Now, this fulfills prophecy because Isaiah and others talk about, you know, healing and healing the lame and making the blind to see. This lame man was totally different. Totally different. He was now walking and praising God. We know he never had walked before. But chances are he'd never praised God before.
Probably so.
And now people see two things that are amazing in this man.
Yeah, in verse 10, we can continue on here, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So people took notice. To me, God's power was on full display here because these people saw this and it was clear and it was certain. Like they had this clarity and certainty about the healing power of God, about just how awesome God can be, that there was no doubt about what had just happened.
That's right.
You know, no doubt. And you said, you know, these people recognize this man as this lame man, and now he's up walking, leaping, praising God, but he follows them into the temple there to serve as well.
Yeah. You know, my only note I had on that is that wonder and amazement that they saw. Isn't that Jesus?
Yep.
I want to challenge you as we continue. We have a few more points in this lesson, but I want to challenge you. We'll do this as well. We strive to do it quite often. But I want you, and this, just give you a heads up, when Madeline and I have our video, we didn't have it Friday or Saturday, we're going to have it today, when we have our video, especially since David and George talked about it so much in Sunday school.
Put you on the spot.
When we have our video, we're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. One way that you can overcome anxiousness, you can overcome misery, you can overcome depression, you can overcome, is to look for the good. I know when I was really a depressed person, I saw the bad. I saw the negative. I saw the half-empty cup. And so with that mindset, I want you to look for Jesus every day. And I want to challenge you every day to ask your wife, your husband, your neighbor, your children, your grandchildren, call them on the phone, whatever, say, hey, how did you see Jesus today? Because I'm going to tell you, when we look for Him, amazing things of our Savior, spectacular things are happening all around us right now. And we need to ask ourselves every day, how have I seen our Savior?
Yep. Let's recap these four verses here, five verses, because 11 says, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. So in verse 7 we see he was immediately healed. Verse 8, he was leaping, he stood, he walked, he entered the temple praising God. Everyone in the temple took notice. They were filled with amazement, and he clung and held on tightly. So to me, the gospel of Jesus has the power to heal, but are we willing to follow afterwards? Hmm. Like, you know, the cost of discipleship, Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, to take up your cross and follow me daily. Are we willing to be healed, but then to follow? Like, I find that amazing. This man didn't just go leap up, start rejoicing, and run away.
Right.
He followed them right into the temple. And I know it wasn't necessarily a period of worship, but man, I don't know why he clung to Peter and John. Maybe he was nervous. I don't know. But he was this visitor here. Maybe things are different. He didn't know how people were going to perceive him. Or maybe he was just so thankful towards them that he clung to him.
Now, I think that's a great point to bring out. And I think it's probably one, if we're not careful, we skip right over.
Absolutely.
He held on to him.
Yep.
I can't get enough,
that's
man.
Right.
I can't get enough, Jesus. I can't get enough of what you guys have done for me. Think about it. 40 plus years. All he's known is people carrying him every day. And now, by the way, this is a significant moment. I've said it a bunch of times now. Significant moment in the growth of the church. People are going to talk about this lame man being healed. And he's like, I can't get enough. Man, I can't get enough Jesus. I can't get enough being around. You know what? When you hang around people that steal your joy, you don't really want to hang around those people. I want to hang around people that love Jesus, that talk about Jesus, that identify with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when we do that, man, you want to cling to them.
There's no question.
And that's so special. They were running.
No, right.
All the people were running.
Astounded. Yeah. It's an amazing scene just to picture here.
Right.
So as we get into the next section, I don't know that we're going to necessarily read this entire part of this, but I know Peter goes on to preach, and you said it earlier, and I jotted it down here in my Bible too, that in verse 12, Peter saw an opportunity.
Sure he did.
He saw this opportunity to preach these people, to tell what had just been done. They saw it with this clarity, right? But now let's tell them again what had happened, right?
Right.
Peter takes this opportunity to preach to these people.
And that's what it's all about, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about preaching Jesus. We're going to see that unfold. Really, it happened in Acts 2. Here it happens in Acts 3. It's going to happen in Acts 4. It's going to happen in Acts 5, 6, 7, 8. It's going to keep on going. This is the account of the excitement and the work and the mission of the apostles. And because of that excitement, again, I told y'all last week, or I said this last week a couple times, we hear people, I've heard it all my life, we need to be the church of the first century. And I agree with that. But the church of the first century were excited. They were excited about the mission of Jesus Christ. Yes, they did things. Please hear me out. I am all about doing it by the Bible. They did things by the Bible, but they didn't do it like sticks in the mud. They did it with excitement. And I want to ask ourselves today, are we excited as this lame man? Now remember, we have our bodies. I have never had a broken bone, knock on wood. I mean, maybe a pinky toe or something, but I don't know. I've had my knee tore up playing sports. I've had some other injuries over the years, but I've never been lame. I've never been crippled. So I don't know what it's like for this guy, but I have been lost. Mm-hmm. I have been a sinner, hell-bound, and I've had my sins washed away.
I love the fact here that when they performed this miracle, Peter and John didn't take credit for it. Right there in verse 12, where it says, "And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you wonder about this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?'" It's this whole Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 where Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, right? In the same way, let your light shine before others. This is what we certainly need to do in 21st century America so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. They didn't stand up with their chest. I mean, they could have gained this confidence and then got all puffed up with pride and said, "Look what we have just done." No, Peter puts it right back on them and ultimately on God. You think this was by our own power that we did this?
Sure.
And I love just from Peter's sermon here, he goes out, not necessarily condemning them again, but as he preaches to them, he says, "Listen, you denied the Holy and Righteous One. You killed him in verse 15. You killed the author of life."
That's right.
And then verse 16,
he tells
about this man. He says, "Faith that is through Jesus has given this man," or the man, "this perfect health in the presence of you all." Faith in Jesus, like him. That was the first Sunday Bible class, right? That Dad and George did.
Yeah.
We've got to have that same kind of faith. That not when we get healed do we doubt. Like this lame man didn't sit there and say, You're just fooling me." Like,
right.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that walked by him and said, "Hey, buddy, get up and start walking." You know, maybe thought they could heal. This man didn't doubt. He grabbed Peter's hand and he started weeping. Like, there was this confidence, this faith that he was healed.
That's right. This will be my conclusion part. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to offer an opportunity, and then I'm going to let Justin close us out here. But there are two things Peter preaches in verses 12 through 26. Mm-hmm. It's a sermon.
Yep.
Just like Acts 2 was a sermon, for the most part. He preaches Jesus and he preaches hope. Jesus and hope go hand in hand.
Yep.
You can't have hope without Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no hope. Now, I want you to know today that there are people tuning in that if you've never been a part of a Bible study, today you do not have to have all 66 books of the Bible memorized. You do not have to give an exegetical lesson on the book of Revelation. You do not have to know Hebrew. You do not have to know Greek. You have to know Jesus. You have to be immersed in Jesus. Today, if you know of someone that says, "Hey, I'm ready. I know where water is."
That's right.
Let's get them into Jesus. Let's get that hope. Let's get that Jesus. And let's preach Jesus to others.
I wrote that down too, that Peter offers hope to them. Again, not in a condemning fashion. He said, "Listen, I know that you acted in ignorance." I think Paul in some of his writings in the New Testament tells us to put off our former ways of life, that former ignorance. We've all acted in ignorance. But now, ignorance for them is not an excuse.
Right?
Just because we didn't know better, now that's not an excuse. In verse 17, he says, "You've done this in ignorance." Verse 18, he says, "God was fulfilling the prophet's message." Like, this was out of your ignorance, but this was also what God had to do. And verse 19 says, "Now." Right, because of this new information that you've been given, now what you know is different. Repent. No longer is this ignorance that they had. Now it's an opportunity to be redeemed.
That's right.
And we have that same opportunity. We do too. We have an opportunity to be redeemed. Peter talks about this times of refreshing. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, "Now that we can mount up with wings like eagles." Right, this opportunity to be redeemed. It's got to be refreshing.
That's right.
And this, again, like when we're standing here or sitting here, we're not standing, we're sitting, and we are wearing long pants, and preaching in Acts chapter 3, like
we're not doing this in a condemning fashion either.
No.
Like you and I have been ignorant before. Everyone's been ignorant. We have this opportunity. We have this new hope. We have a privilege to be redeemed.
And we're excited about it.
Super excited about it. And that's the message that Peter and John were trying to give. That's the message that Jesus wanted them to give. It's the message that He wants us to give. And that's certainly what you and I are trying to do, is to provide excitement, to provide an opportunity to know that we've all acted in ignorance, but we have this privilege, this opportunity to be redeemed, and we need to take Jesus Christ to the world.
That's right.
Right? Terry's already mentioned it, but if you need, haven't been or not a part of God's church, and you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we can help you out with that, right? If you need prayers, and you saw our elders up there earlier, if you need prayers of this congregation, you get us your prayer requests. You get our elders your prayer requests. Send those to the office. However, we will make sure that your needs are met, right?
That's right.
What an awesome privilege, what an awesome opportunity we had to worship together this morning. Thank you so much. I'll close this out in prayer, if that's okay, and then I know we'll move on to some announcements. Father, we come before you again just humbled that you would choose us. You created us. You created us in your image. You created us to be perfect people, to be complete people, and we went and messed that up. Father, we're so thankful that you're a healer, that you're a fixer, and that you have made whole our broken mess. Father, thank you for Jesus who made all of that possible. I pray as imperfect people that we can go out and spread the perfect message of Christ, the healing power of Christ to people. I pray that we can be our hands and feet. I pray that we can not be prideful, understand that we have shortcomings, but I pray that people will see our good works. They will see our talent shining through, and they will give you the glory. I pray through this pandemic, God, we will all grow individually, closer to you, closer to our families, and I pray that this church family, I pray that your kingdom will grow through it all. Thank you for our struggles and our trials that help to better mold us into the people that you want us to be. Father, I pray that we can all learn from Acts chapter 3 and the actions of Peter and John. And I pray that we can learn from the lame man. And I pray with this new information that we have that we can be excited. We will repent of our sins, that we will be redeemed people, and we'll go and spread that message to the entire world. Thank you again for Christ and the hope of salvation that He brings us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to go ahead and start out. Don't let us lose y'all, because this is exciting to me too.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to the elders and they did a phenomenal job on those videos. I mean, they were really touching to me. And so they are the trendsetters, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I want our elders to not feel left out. So what I want to do is keep putting together some videos. So we're going to ask you, church, to record a short video. I think it was really neat being able to see them. And like you say, we talk to them on the phone every Wednesday because we have an elders meeting.
Right.
But, man, to be able to see them, you know, it was really special to me. And I want to see you. That means, yeah, I mean, you might, I don't care if you put your makeup on, ladies, or you guys comb your hair or not. But you know what I'm saying? You might want to do that, I guess. But we want to put together, if you don't mind, a video just so everybody else can see. You can record that video and just text it to me. Or email. If you have an Android, it's probably easier to email it to me. If you need my information, my number is 251-680-9318.
Share it.
Yeah, I don't care. If it says unknown call, I'll just decline it. But or you can put kagelhome@yahoo.com. That's kagelhome@yahoo.com. So kagelhome@yahoo.com, 251-680-9318. So send those in and it takes me a little while to put them together, so if you could get those into me by maybe Monday or Tuesday. And I'm not saying, well, if you send me 40 of them, we won't have 40 at one time. We'll only do three or four, and we'll just keep spreading it out over the time. But love you guys, and I appreciate you. And Justin will tell us about our classes.
Yep. So, again, I had Bible class this morning. Everyone that was able to attend at 8:30. I know the one-to-one class had theirs at 9:15. So if you have missed those in the past, make sure for next week you tune in to those. I know Jason's done a good job of getting that information out to his group, and if somebody's not in that group, make sure you spread that information out. Also, today for teenagers, we'll have Bible class at 12:45. I know it's a little bit different, but 12:45, JYG will be at 1:30. Roadrunners will be at 5 p.m. tonight, And then remember, I will send another link out, but I believe I put it on Facebook last week, and I know I sent it out through Remind. We have our first live stream area-wide tonight at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So that's going to be cool. It's going to be very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun, but anybody is welcome to join that. Again, I will put that link out again so that you can see it. Outdoor Bible activities. I've got to shorten one video up so it didn't load properly, but I will get those out to you today. There's two of them for this week, and I think they're going to be great, and you'll enjoy those. A few household supplies. I hope that nobody has to go out and get any supplies for those. But thank you all so much. I believe we're going to be closed in a song, right?
Yeah.
Unless you have any other announcements.
All right. Love you guys.
Have a great week.
Share our message.